Hello, you're listening to Spoiler Filled Film Conversation Hooray, or just Spoiler Filled, if you like. Here is the podcast.
Who's here? Who's that?
Well, that is Stephen Lee.
Well done, Steve. What's your name? You there?
It's Anthony Evans.
And who's this guy? I'm pointing. I'm Richard Nicholas. It's like all them film review type podcasts. We're just jumping on the bandwagon. It's a really long bandwagon, yeah. And we've caught up with it, and we're jumping on. We're doing a film podcast, guys. What do you think?
Brilliant.
We already do a film podcast called Out of the Cinema, though.
Yeah, and this would be a good time for a plug, but let's not plug it. Let's move on. What film are we talking about?
We are talking about Batman Forever, the kind of one that no one kind of remembers, because you've got the two Tim Burton ones, which everyone's like, yeah, they're good, and then you've got the Batman and Robin, which everyone is like,
boom.
Oh, that is the worst film I've ever seen.
And then you've got that bad, but
yeah. And then you've got the Christopher Nolan ones, which everyone's like, wow, they're great. But then you have Batman Forever, which people seem to overlook.
Yeah, it's between the Arnie puns and between the Tim Burton Wonderland, and it just sits there. And it's time we discussed it. And well, we are. What expectations? That's a good thing. We always start with that on Out of the Cinema. We should say, what did we expect when we were rewatching it or watching it for like the first time?
I was really excited to watch it. I was really, really, really excited to watch it.
Steve, you've been watching them all, though, haven't you? You've been rewatching the whole lot.
Yeah, up until the Dark Knight Rises, which is coming out on the cinema. At this time of recording, it's going to come out next week.
Or it's out now.
Or it could be out now,
or
yes.
It's been out for ages.
Or it's been out for ages. Or it's been out for so long that it's now on UK Gold.
Yeah.
But
Okay, right.
I've started from Batman 1989, not 1965, but 1989. That's irrelevant. Anyway, I've watched Tim Burton's, and I watched those two, and I love them both.
Right.
So I was thinking, okay, we got a different director, even though Tim Burton's co-produced it.
Yeah, he was producing it, yeah.
Yeah, producing it. So I new director, I thought, oh, this is a new direction. I'm quite excited now because I've seen the dark Batmans now. Now I want to see something a little bit different. And so I was quite excited.
Anthony?
Well, this was the first one Batman film I remember properly seeing.
It was big when we were little kids and stuff.
I may have seen it in the cinema, actually. Maybe not. Maybe I'm making that up. But, you know, this is my first proper introduction to Batman.
Yeah,
and I actually remember really liking it when I was a kid.
Sure.
And then watching it again recently, I don't know about expectations, but I kind of had some patience with it.
Sure.
I was fine with that. It's really hard to explain because it's not an expectation because I've seen it before.
Yes,
you know. And I know what's coming, so I think it's kind of.
You were semi looking forward to it.
I'm a big
Batman fan. I like watched the whole bunch of movies, the animation, the 60s show a bit from like the 60s TV show, that read some comics, like even probably have some toys. But like, so I'm well versed in Batman, and this one is not one of my favorites. But only because there's so many awesome Batman things, Batman computer games, Batman everything. Batman is usually like a pretty good standard with a few exclusions. Like, so I don't know. I wasn't amazed and I wasn't excited, but I didn't remember it very well. So I guess I was whatever that emotion, not fully.
Pretty well explained for a podcast/radio.
I've never had an opinion before. I don't understand what I felt a thing and that emotion.
Yes.
I don't know. I felt something, but it wasn't positive.
Okay, well, let's get into the thick of it then.
Right.
What's the first thing we should talk about? Batman Forever, I guess.
Because it's weird, because it's in the middle of them. I kind of want to, like, I mean, Steve was saying, like, he enjoyed the first movies that came out, but it's like, if we look at this as an individual film,
yeah,
just on its own merits, without the wider what's better, what's worse, you know, and how we enjoyed it in relation to in and of itself, how did we enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was the first Batman film I remember seeing. And it made total sense to me. It's like, this is something you can watch without properly understanding, like, the Batman universe and, like, seeing the other films. Because, it doesn't have a origin story. And it just kind of throws you right in, and everything is fine, I think. So in terms of standing alone, I think it does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the essentially the film is about a crazy millionaire who puts on a costume and fights crime and has wacky adventures with gadgets and stuff. And it's this weird, it's a really stupid and weird story that is very popular, and you kind of can't go, everyone knows the Batman story. He's like one of the most mainstream comic book heroes going. I think everyone like is au fait enough with the idea that they don't need to explain too much in this one. And it did have movies to explain anyway, if you did want that.
Yeah, it does have moments that do explain the backstory anyway.
A little bit in this one.
A little bit in this one, yeah, anyway. So I do feel it can stand on its own.
Yeah, but you are, from the get-go, you're in a bizarre, colourful, everything's got neon wrapped around it.
Yeah.
Like, there were Tommy guns with neon on. Yes. The Batmobile's covered in neon. There's just, if there's a tray going past, that's neon too. They just slap neon over everything.
Yeah. Which so, I loved.
You like that?
I absolutely loved the way this film was shot. That's my first comment. I loved the way this film was shot.
Steve, are you a bit of a sucker for like bright, like primary coloured action movies?
I kind of am, yes, because it's just excited me, because I'd seen the dark side, and now I've also seen the camp side. I've seen a bit of the TV series, so I was expecting something a little bit different again, and this like, was different again.
It's like standing in the strip in Vegas and staring with your eyes as open as possible and like a few batarangs coming at you. That's how I'd like say how it looked.
It was shot, I really did like the whole look and feel of the film. I really did enjoy that.
All very, and I even like the costumes and stuff, very flamboyant. Even some of the costumes have got neon on. It's insanely colourful.
It feels like a cult 80s or 70s film at some points, with all the fluorescent colours and neons.
Yeah, like Bane mentioned at the start, I think he mentioned it was influenced a little bit by the city of Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And I could see that. Yeah. It felt like that weird noirish Chicago meets Tokyo in many respects. Gotham did anyway. And like everything was covered in these lights and colours, and it was obscene how much they fitted in. Like, you know, so I don't know. Maybe I did like that, I think. I'm going to chalk it up now as a positive that it was super neon.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean,
it certainly stands out.
I know a few reviewers, you know, I've seen on the internet that don't like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can't do the dark thing all the time.
Sometimes you need a bit of the... It felt like, that was the main impression I got, was it was like a kid's cartoon show. Like, it's properly, like, this is for kids. It's everyone's, like, all the characters are really loud, both visually, and their personalities are really over the top. It felt like I was watching, like, Animaniacs or something. It was that kind of insane. And all of everyone goes, like, hell for leather into their wacky villain characters.
Oh, yeah. There's this commitment in this film from, like, the villains and the wackiness and the ham.
But I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I mean, good. It is good, because... one thing, again, I know we haven't started talking about the act. Can I start talking
about the whatever you want. This is a lot more casual than
There's one part of the film I can't stand. And I want to get this out of the way now, because I feel I have to bring it up, because
You say it. We're friends here, Steve.
Yeah. You know, this, again, spoilers. It's called spoiler alert. What do you bloody expect?
Don't hit them. don't mentally hit the viewers.
Okay, sorry. There's a scene where Batman is, I think he's stuck in his vault thing.
Yeah, at the start, yeah.
With this police guy, is it? Or the security guard?
Yes, yeah, security guard from the bank.
Oh my gosh, his acting was really grating on me.
What, the Batman or the security guard?
The security guard. He's going, oh no! And all that. It was really, really bad. And that was the only thing I found wrong with this film.
I think there were some other choice moments of like awkward lines, but no. I think it was kind of peppered with that kind of melodrama kind of thing. This is weird, right? And I'm feeling a little bit more positive than when I watched it. When I was watching it, I was a bit like, this is daft. But it's like, it opens with Two-Face already as Two-Face, not as like a lawyer or whatever.
Yeah, that was one thing. That's something I didn't particularly like, was how they just kind of threw him in and didn't explain him.
They explained it a little bit,
but like,
after the fact.
They use the TV to do it.
Yes,
like... That's the laziest way in a film, is to have the TV give you the exposition.
Every single time you watch a comic book film, you've always got to have an origin story. And I thought it was nice...
An origin story.
Origins.
Where they became orange.
Yeah. Origin story. Like, you know, how they started and everything. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was quite nice not to have one for a change.
Maybe, but, you know, that they more or less showed it happen on the TV. So it's like, why couldn't you have just taken, like, 2 or 3 minutes at the beginning and put it there?
Plus, it perfect...
I'm not asking for much, but...
It also doesn't explain, like... It's like, yeah, he got, like, Batman tried to save him and got acid on him. That's why he's got half a burnt face.
Yeah, it's just...
Perfectly burnt face. It's perfectly lined down the face. He's decided to become a two-based villain. And it's just, forget it. Just run with it. You don't need to know. He's mad. Look at him. He's got two halves. Get it?
Yeah.
Like...
But then, you know, Two-Face, like in the cartoons and comics.
Yeah.
You know, it's two faces. It's like two halves of the same personality.
A split personality.
And that's his big thing, which... doesn't really come across. All it is he's now deformed, hence he's evil.
Yeah. Here's the point I was going to come on to. I was going to get into the story and what happens, but fundamentally I felt, because it's about the Joker and it's about the Riddler teaming up to take on the Batman.
Two-Face.
Two-Face.
You said the Joker.
Exactly. Freudian slip, because basically Two-Face and the Riddler are behaving exactly like a Joker character.
Mm-hmm.
They're being really loud. Like, at one point... Two-Face is dressed like what's the dude like in a top hat called in a circus?
The Ringmaster,
and he's got all his thugs coming in and they kind of invade the circus. That felt like a kind of jokery thing to do. There's a little bit of schizophrenia in there, but fundamentally he's not that obsessed with two. Like, a few token gestures, like the bank was called the Second Bank or the Two Bank, or, you know, it had a few things, but he wasn't coming up with loads of traps that are all based on twos. At one point, he just has a bomb. It's like, where's all the duality? And then the same with Riddler. He was all, like, wacky, because, you know, that's what Jim Carrey does.
Yeah.
He felt like a very jokery interpretation of the Riddler, you know? And that kind of, like, well, why are you doing two Jokers? What's with that? That's how I felt. And that's one of my main criticisms, I'd say. Any thoughts?
No, I have to disagree with that. I thought the Riddler stood out as... the Riddler. I couldn't see him as the Joker. You know, I couldn't see...
He was covered in question marks, in fairness.
Yeah, yeah. But it was... It didn't feel like I was watching Jack Nicholson's version of the Joker. I was...
Yeah.
It felt like I was watching Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Sure.
If that makes any sense, listeners.
I mean, it was Jim Carrey playing the Riddler.
Yeah, it was.
So it's a good, like, you know, you're fair enough. Okay, we disagree a bit, but I could definitely see shades of the Joker in both performances of the two villains.
Because they didn't come in playing Prince like they did in the first film. Do you remember that scene? Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. If you haven't seen the first Batman 1989, check that scene out on YouTube or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Prince, awesome. Anyway,
yeah.
back to the film, right? So it kicks off. Two-Face, an established Gotham villain, is stealing a safe, and for some reason the safe has a security guard in, because it's like bait for Batman, and it's filling up with acid. Oh no, because, you know, villains.
Yeah.
And then Batman has to like hook that, and he's like flying around outside. How does the safe is dragged outside by a helicopter because Two-Face is stealing it?
Yeah.
And then somehow Batman gets the safe back into position and saves the guy, but like, oh no, Two-Face gets away, and we're in the thick of the movie. We're already enjoying the action. Is that like more or less how it starts? Am I right?
Yeah, and I kind of like that. It definitely sets the tone for the rest of the film. It's like, here you go, guys. It's going to be cheesy. It's going to be over the top.
Strap it in. Yeah, so it really doesn't wait around and it doesn't hang about. We're just into the zaniness. And then they start developing the Riddler's bit of the story. They set him up as an inventor within one of the...
Working for, like, Bruce Corp or Wayne Corp.
Yeah.
Or
Bruce Corp.
Bruce Wayne Corp. Enterprises.
Wayne Enterprises, thank you.
Batman Co. And he's just got this mad idea, like a ridiculous headpiece that goes on and like manipulates your brain waves and stuff, and sounds completely unethical and mad. And Bruce Wayne gives him the time of day, But unfortunately, the Riddler botches that meeting by saying, no, no, answer me now. And it's like, well, if I have to answer you now, no. It raises too many questions. Questions? I'm crazy and obsessed with you. And then Riddler's set about his path of becoming the not that obsessed with Riddle's Riddler.
Yeah.
He does a few. He sends a few in the post. And
I think he sends about three or four.
And they all make one clue, and that's like...
his identity.
Yeah. Mr. Enigma. So I would have liked a few more of that. Like the clues from Riddler. Like a few more brain teasers or something.
I don't think they could have fitted a lot more brain teasers into the film.
No. Or at least made them a bit more clever. Like they were leading to something more. Like maybe a trap for Batman or something.
Do you remember any of them?
There was the...
Number 13.
Yeah. There was the one with the face... And the one with the tennis court.
Yeah, I like that tennis court one.
I like Riddler has a lot of time for arts and crafts. When he's not coming up with crazy plans to get Batman, he is sitting there with a pair of scissors and some glue. And for someone who makes machines and stuff, when he does glue some letters in for a riddle, he's very messy. He's got glue all over the place.
It's all about the aesthetic.
And what's the deal with his apartment? It's like a corridor full of question marky stuff. Like they got the machine.
The horrible
clown machine.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that.
What does that do? It's like a magic eight ball. You just ask it questions.
I think it's like one of those machines where it just points to yes or no or whatever.
No. Yes. It is. And then it just seemed like, you know, obviously his costume was going to be what it was because he had that stuff everywhere anyway. I'll say one thing. I did like the moments where, when Jim Carrey's playing the Riddler, when he's playing Ed Nigma, the man who's selling. I'm skipping on through the film. How unorganized is this? Someone else take charge of this bloody podcast. Save me. Set up any point. I don't mind.
Okay. Well, we might as well wrap up the villains then. We've been talking about them for a while.
Yeah.
So does this movie suffer from the too many villains thing?
No.
It's always the damning thing, isn't it, where too many villains in a movie means it's going to be a bad movie.
No. Because the only the 1989 Batman film, that's the only one that's had only one villain. This Batman Returns had two, that worked fine. Again, I know I'm not supposed to compare it to the others. Batman and Robin had a zillion. That didn't work so well, but...
not making a good point, Steve. No, you're saying a lot of the others had them in, so it shouldn't have been a problem.
No, I don't think it's a problem. When they work together, they team up together. I like when Joker and Riddler meet for the first time.
Wait, what film's that?
The scene. They meet for the
Joker
first
doesn't meet Riddler.
Oh,
it's confusing. I told you, Joker's all over this film.
Yeah, Two-Face and Riddler meet for the first time, and he's flipping the coin to see whether he shoots him or not, and that was quite cool.
They get on, they hit it off quite well, because Jim Carrey...
He's got a gun to his face at first, is that hitting it off?
Yeah, he broke into his super lair, and you can't just break into your evil lair and be like... Hello, I'm here. What are you doing? You're going to get cross. And then he's like, but wait, I love what you've done with the place. Look, there's the bad side, there's the good side. Let's be friends. We both hate Batman. And they get all hugs and laughter. They get on. They're perfectly good together.
Yeah, you should have been in this face up to begin with, though.
Steve, you're the one saying you like having too many villains in it.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So shut up, Rich. Stop defending my point. I thought, considering it's kind of a cartoony, silly one.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's too many.
I think it's too the fun. Two-Face is a little... He doesn't really do much.
He does a lot of Robin.
Killing Robin's parents.
Well, that's it. That could have been... The Riddler could have done that.
No, why would he have done that?
Why did Two-Face do it?
To try and find out who Batman was.
Well, Riddler was trying to find out who Batman was too.
No, he was trying to kill Batman.
Same thing.
Bruce Wayne, though, wasn't he?
I suppose,
yeah. Yeah, he was more after Bruce Wayne.
But either way, I think it would have been solid with just one of them.
Yeah. Maybe, because you could do that thing.
No, it wouldn't have.
I know, I'm not saying that. I like Tommy Lee Jones. I liked, like, his makeup. I just liked the way he looked, and he was obviously, like, putting his all in there and having fun doing it.
Yeah.
I think because it was kiddie and fun and, like, not to be taken too seriously, it was fine. If they'd have, if this had been, like, a newer, more gritty Batman, they definitely want to split those two up and have them, like take up more time developing one. But because it was fun, I'll let it slide. But they did set up Robin as well. So it's two villains, a Robin and some psychologist who's a bit obsessed with Batman as well.
Mm.
And it, weirdly, a psychologist being obsessed with Batman is a bit of a, like it feels like the story of Hugo Strange, because that's his thing, is he's obsessed with Batman and a psychologist and things. And it's like, is she going to be Hugo Strange? She isn't. Like, so I was sort of thinking about that character and being like, why have you done this? So I thought it was full, very jam-packed of different characters they were setting up. And, you know, but it, you know, I don't know. Steve has confused me because I started defending
his
point. I
liked them. They were over the top and they were silly, but it worked. And I thought they were funny. But, you know, it probably would have worked a bit better if one of them was, if it was just one of them.
Maybe set up.
Because there was nothing that one of them did that the other one couldn't have done.
Yeah. It didn't make a heap of sense most of the time. No. It was just, yeah, we've got a thing that manipulates your brain and can do stuff, and that's going to get all of Gotham under our control. Whap it on the TVs. They're all under our control. Now we know who Batman is. Let's get him. It didn't, like, I can't fully get to grips with how it made sense. Steve, you liked it a lot, so do you think it makes sense as a story?
I don't think it has to make sense, to be honest, because it's just one of those films where you just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Just roll with it.
Just roll with it. Yeah.
Don't think about it too much.
I mean, there's a part where he takes what Bruce Wayne is in Bruce Wayne's mind,
yeah,
and then he shows it to Two-Face.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, why would Two-Face be interested in what's in Bruce Wayne's mind? Because he doesn't know that Bruce Wayne's Batman. It's the only little thing I had against it. And that terrible actor.
Oh, well, that's the Riddler then, isn't it? The Riddler is one obsessed more with Bruce Wayne. Because,
yeah.
Cause, you know, he turned him down and essentially, you know, started off making him the Riddler.
Yeah.
So then it just turns out that, oh, this is Batman, who you're looking for, you know?
This is serendipitous.
Yeah.
Oh, you might have yes. already. You might have already seen that. What was in his head before he showed it to Two-Face? Probably.
I guess
getting a big
thing on your head and getting someone's mind just makes you clever and understand everything. Maybe we need one of those machines to fully understand this script.
Exactly.
Just need a thing on your head to tell you everything. Okay. So right, Robin is set up. We haven't talked much about him. Did anyone like the Robin element of this?
It kind of had to be there to fill the time.
We couldn't have just had Jim Carrey dancing about in a onesie.
Yeah. saying that, though, I didn't think Christian O'Donnell did a bad job with it, really.
Oh, yeah, I'm surprised how much I didn't hate his guts.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it enough, you know.
With the Robin character in general, I don't think many people like it anyway.
Yeah, it's really? It's yeah. one of the. I think it's one of those controversial characters.
Yeah.
It's giving the Dark Knight a sidekick of a little boy who like is good on a tightrope.
Yeah,
it doesn't always cut it for people, and I think that it splits people. Some people like Dark Knight very seriously, and if Robin is involved, it's like no way.
Yeah,
I maybe have time for Nightwing, but if we don't have to go through Robin to get there, that's good.
Yeah.
So. Okay. I think, you know, given the pace this had, which was quite quick to fit in so much and do so much, they established the Robin story. It kind of was a bit, why is Bruce Wayne looking after the guy, the kid whose parents has died instead of anyone in particular? Like, I guess Bruce was the idea that Bruce Wayne had requested I look after the young boy because he felt responsible then. Okay, so he's there. He's like, as soon as the guy's left, he's like, oh, I'm going to leave. There's no way I'm staying here. I'm going to kill Two-Face. Milk and cookies? motorbikes to mend? I'll stay. And then this, like, and now I'm going to invade your life and become Robin. And then, well done. Yeah, it was fine. I don't know. Like, it's now that at the time, I gotta be honest, I was like, oh, what is this film? But now I'm remembering it more. It is really zany and funny, and it's got all of this nonsense to enjoy. So, you know, I'm coming round as we discuss it a bit more.
Robin's okay. I think, though, because then my mind is tainted with Robin
in the
second film. And
put
he's
it
just,
out of your mind.
Okay, it's gone. he wasn't particularly good. He wasn't particularly bad. He was fine, I think.
Yeah, you know. Did need him there. It's asking the question, did you need to introduce him into the whole franchise in the first place? Is what is the real question for me.
Can you put up with an annoying sidekick, or do you want just one moody billionaire taking out people on their own?
And, as I said, I didn't really have any strong gripes with Robin at all.
Okay. Yeah, he could give Batman a new dynamic, by having someone to watch out for, or to someone rebellious for to pull back in line.
Here's the thing that with this film did that a few of them didn't, and it's they kind of did the good job of concluding the idea that Bruce Wayne's all right with being Batman. They tried to suggest in this film that, you know, he might have some problems being the Batman, being Bruce Wayne separately, and then by the end it's sort of saying, look, I've come to terms with this. I choose to be both, and I'm okay with the responsibilities, etc., etc. So in a sense, from this point on, you know, Batman will be Batman as established. They kind of finish off sorting out Bruce Wayne's problems and psychological things going on and say, look, now we're going to have Batman forever. That's, I think, why they titled it. I didn't get why they titled it. And I think just upon thinking about that, I think I get why it's called Forever, because they sort Batman out and he's ready to take on everyone. But I thought it was a terrible title.
I liked the title.
Forever.
Yeah.
Why, Steve?
Because you've just explained it.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Steve knew all along. I was like, eh? And he was like,
I never really thought about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't think about it till now, until you said that, and I thought, that's actually quite clever.
And now you like it, good.
I do.
Yeah, who else we got in this? We got, I would say, a fairly redundant female interest. I mean, she's kind of stupid for a psychologist, because she like signals the Batman just because she fancies him.
Yep.
And then he's like, don't waste my time. But I really think you're interesting. For crime. It's for crimes. Don't mess around. It's for crimes. Okay? There could be a mugging happening. I came from a very important meeting. Come on. Don't waste time with this.
There is the interesting dynamic with her where she first is kind of like intrigued by Batman and then turns down Bruce Wayne.
Yeah,
and then, you know, he starts falling in love. So then he turns up as Batman and she's like, well, no, I've got a new Bruce Wayne now.
I thought that was really weird of Batman as well, because the whole Batman is like serious, let's fight crime. Like, in a way, Bruce Wayne gets a split personality. That's one is the troubled, young man who's got problems and is a billionaire and has got dead parents. And then there's Batman who's like, I always will take down the bad guys. Yeah. And Batman turning up and being like, do you want a smooch? Do you have a little kiss? Actually, now that I've kissed you, I actually fancy a guy in real life. Turns out it's me. Ha ha ha. And then when Batman turns around and he's like, he smiles. Batman smiling is the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel a bit weirded out by Batman smiling to camera?
Maybe because it was Val Kilmer, because he was quite serious throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm pretty sure like George Clooney smiles a lot. But it's George Clooney. If he doesn't smile, it's like this box has not been ticked in his contract, man. But yeah, you're right. Batman doesn't smile.
Or smooch. And yet in this film, he does. Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a weird one, this film.
I can see why it's weirded it out a little bit, but it doesn't spoil a film. It doesn't I felt one of my concerns when I looked at the back of the box, I saw it was 2 hours 20. I think it's 121 minutes long. I thought, oh god, this is gonna be a long one, because I didn't know what to expect. And even though my expectations were high,
this is going to be a bit drag a little bit.
Yeah, this might drag a little bit. That's exactly right. And but I like to say about the flow of this film, it didn't. At one point, I didn't look at my watch and go, right, it's just going to finish in a minute.
I'll say one thing. I guess the pace and the amount of characters they have in it means you don't really have time to get like, oh, really another long, drawn-out scene where Riddler questions himself and his inventions. Nah, he's just fine with it, and he's mad and obsessed with Bruce Wayne. Yeah. And he's going to dress up like him. And when Bruce Wayne and him meet, you know, in real life, he's going to put on glasses and try to imitate his mole and everything. And I thought that was kind of like a nice funny bit for the Riddler to be like trying to mirror Bruce Wayne, but simultaneously not being as good and as handsome as Bruce Wayne. And they did kind of put over that idea that he was jealous. So I've gone on to that tangent just for no reason, but I don't know.
Okay, one person we haven't discussed yet is Val Kilmer as the actual Batman. The Batman.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone else go.
He's quite subdued overall. It's like, if you think of like Michael Keaton.
Sure.
He definitely had like... He had the brooding side, but he was also fairly jovial in the way he was.
Yeah.
Whereas Val Kilmer didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
Which is weird, considering it's a more campy,
comedy-related
film version. He's kind of like the straight dude to the film in general.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, kind of. What do you think, Steve? Do you like him as Batman? You've seen a bunch of them now.
Yes. And...
No.
I can't pick anything wrong with his performance... But I'm not going to say it's brilliant.
It didn't set you alight.
It doesn't set me alight.
Standard Batman job.
Yeah, and it was okay. Yeah.
I don't want to go as far to say boring, because that's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
But, you know,
a bit run-of-the-mill. Of all the interpretations I've seen of Batman and Bruce Wayne and stuff, I didn't really feel like he was Bruce Wayne very much. I don't know if it was just he doesn't look particularly... Bruce Wayne's usually quite dark-haired, and I don't know, it's not... particularly a visual thing, but just seeing him there with his specs on, wandering around going, who are you? Is that that's Bruce Wayne, is it? Is it?
Mm.
And I don't know if he inhabited that element of the character. I mean, all he did really as Bruce Wayne was have a walk around a few places and have a flashback occasionally. And, you know, I don't know if he did, like, an amazing job of that. And as Batman, like, the fact that he smiled, no.
Yeah.
What are you doing? That's not Batman. What are you doing? What are you doing? Go punch a mugger. That's what you should be doing as Batman. Or sitting on top of a gargoyle going... So, I don't know. I didn't love him, but then I think some of my favourite Batmans are animated anyway, so they're not. You can't even judge them on that
Kevin
level.
Kevin Conley, the ultimate Batman.
Yeah.
he did the job. That's it. He did the job.
Not more, not less.
He just did the job.
It was kind of like he was like the focal... Like the, what am I trying to say? Like the pillar that's holding everything up.
Right.
So you've got all these new things. You've got Robin introduced, and you've got two new villains and stuff. Yeah. So he has to be like
just be the same as the last one.
The central, the pillar. Yeah.
Don't do anything strange. Don't try and go for Oscars. Just put the costume
on. He has to be like safe. So he just plays it totally subdued.
Put the costume on. Say no to Robin a few times, but actually let him.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not. Wooden or anything. It's
it's a Batman film, not really about Batman.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a good summary actually.
One of the characters I liked as well was I like the way Alfred is. I like the guy who plays Alfred.
Oh yeah, he's the perfect Alfred.
Yeah, he's
one.
You
think of Alfred, you think Alfred Gough. That's his name.
But then what I liked about him is I liked the way that he dealt with Robin, because he dealt with Robin the same way he dealt with Batman in many ways. And also, Alfred is kind of key to helping Robin become Robin. Because Robin, when he's like just one of the Graysons who's lost his parents, he's full of revenge and is angry and stuff. But Alfred sort of takes care of him and, you know, suggests cleverly to him to do things and whatnot. And then he helps him out by making a costume and sort of going, you go look after Mr. Wayne because he's going to hurt himself one of these days. I need a little sidekick helping him. So I felt warm and good that Alfred was like, yeah, off you go. Don't you have a go at him, Batman. He's out there to help. He's just like you, Bruce. He's going to help you. Take the costume. Go on your bat bike or whatever. That's a weird thing. Vehicles we haven't talked about.
Ah, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few in this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, I love the vehicles. I got all excited when they...
Even the ridiculous flappy wings neon Batman that looks a bit like a weird modern shoe with lights in and has little flappy wings that move like rubber when it drives around the streets. Even that one?
Yes, and I liked... the aeroplane and the boat.
Which they throw in just for laughs.
Yeah, oh, it is. How do you want to get there? By boat? By plane? Why not both? Oh, yeah, go.
Seems very excited. I think he's going to have a seizure. Anthony, what did you think? Do you like the designs and the feel of them or the look of them or whatever?
Yeah.
Not as excited
as me.
They
fit in very well. And, you know, if you've seen Batman before, it's a bit of the fan service, isn't it? You're expecting new flashy vehicles to go in. And it delivers in all fronts.
They're properly mental. I don't know if I liked them so much as it suited the film, you know. The fact that Two-Face and Riddler had preemptively took care of them, the fact that they'd already stuck mines in the sea yeah. to blow up the boat, and like, would they have rockets or something to shoot down there? It's just like, wait, what? Had your weird television devices already preemptively told you to do this? Why do you even have mines? Who has sea mines? And for no reason. Just, I don't know.
With a game of Battleship. Yeah. That was cool. That made me laugh. I loved that part.
I don't know if I laughed.
T6.
Boom. He sunk my battleship, he should have said, but he didn't. Why not? Oh. I shrug them off, is how I feel about the vehicles. I'm not going to bash them. I'm not going to praise them. Shrug them off.
Can we talk about that throwback to the 1965 line?
Go on.
Where he goes, holy metal or something.
Holy rusted metal, Batman.
Holy rusted metal, Batman. He goes, what? And he goes, this metal's holy and it's rusted. And that was brilliant.
Yeah, there's a couple of, like,
lines?
No, not just lines, but, like, little things. Like, when Robin is an acrobat, they all wear the kind of colours of the original Robin.
Yeah,
like,
that was a good call. Yeah. Bit of a weird choice in general.
I remember when Robin is trying to think of a name for himself, he mentions Nightwing, which is also another...
That was a funny, nice reference.
There's a lot of little things like that, and I'm sure...
A bit of fan service.
Like, Batman mentions Metropolis at some point
as well. Yeah, he does, yeah. All of those things, they do, for the fan, it makes you go, I know about that. Yeah. And like you said, that was one of the good jokes I really liked.
Yeah,
when
he
does that. Because it caught me, it's like, I can't believe he actually said, he means the drain is... Ah,
yeah,
you got me, movie, you got me.
That was... And you know, I mentioned the scenery before, like the how it's all set out and everything, the colours and everything. I love the colours on the final scene where it's all green and you can see green lights behind the Riddler. I loved it.
Who sets these up? Everything's so elaborate, and everyone's like, there must be a lot of time for maintenance and like just the people who make neon question marks. It must be a big tailoring business because everyone has costume changes there. I mean. There's big business to be made in sets and stuff in Gotham. There's just guys going, some guy commissioned me to make like 100 neon question marks, and this other dude, I tailored this suit that's half horrible and half nice. And then architecture, who are like, one half of the room is going to be all white. It's going to be amazing. The other half's going to be just black gothic stuff. It's going to look fabulous when we're done. So there must be, that's where all the money is made in Gotham, is in these elaborate, set pieces.
Yeah. Which is unfortunately lacking in the kind of newer ones. Batman Begins, there's kind of elements of the classic Gotham City in that. But in The Dark Knight, it just feels like any other town. It just feels like Chicago or New York.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's like so much of like the production design in this film.
Yeah, that's fine.
Even Gotham City, which is in the comic books, is kind of famous for having these giant statues and busts everywhere.
Yeah.
And they put a lot of that in this one. There's loads of like. Do you need a column? Why not have a man column who's holding something up? Or a giant face just on a building? So there's lots of that weirdness. I think that's a little too much for me. I'd rather go with a more of like believable city, but when it's this kind of thing, it's okay to do that, I think.
It fits in with the overall tone of the film.
Yeah. Maybe right. Are there any other points we want to bring up before we close this podcast down?
Nah. I just kind of wrap up. I don't know. I guess like fond memories of this film created a bit of nostalgia for me.
Yeah.
And then I was happy. I just accepted it as a campy film. Like you said at the beginning, it sets itself up really well as, this is what the film's going to be like. Don't expect anything else.
Sure.
And you just go with it. And everything's just so over the top. And it is essentially a cartoon come to life in some places.
It's very much a kid's movie, I feel. Even though it's like a little scary because there's acid and stuff. But... I think it's definitely a kid's movie. Steve, what do you think?
even though it's a kids' movie and I don't particularly like kids' movies, I like this movie.
It's a sort of nice halfway place.
It's a nice halfway place, yeah.
It's fun for adults and yeah. silly enough for kids to yeah. understand.
I enjoyed it, yeah. overall.
It's okay, guys. Don't forget this film.
Yeah.
But if you love Batman, there's so many better ones. There's like Batman yeah. Brave and the Bold. That's great camp comic action. There's the Arkham City games. There's the new one. Oh, come on. There's so many more things I watched sooner than this.
This is... I'll give you that. Of all the Batman franchise,
yeah,
it would be closer to the bottom than the top.
But because it's Batman.
Like I said, the original Batman film, Batman Returns is brilliant, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, yeah. the animated series.
There's a reason why Batman's the biggest name in comics.
Yeah.
And this doesn't do
so relative to like the Batman franchise. It's not the best.
No, it's not. It's not the best.
But it stands on its own, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're in the right frame of mind, you'll have fun. If you want gritty realism, you will be crying into your hands. So next time we'll have a different film to discuss in our makeshift podcast come film discussion club. If you want to. You know, comment in any way on what, if we think we're all idiots and you want to tell us what's what, you can go to our Facebook page, and everyone does this plug at the end, it's really boring, but you know, Facebook, we're looking forward to your comments, and we don't have that many facilities for you to make comments yet, but hopefully in future we will. The next film we're doing is the 1970s gang movie The Warriors, colourful gangs and stuff running across New York to a cool soundtrack and whatnot. So, The Warriors for next time. That's it.
Yeah, see you then, I guess.
See you then, guys.
Bye-bye. Hope you enjoyed.
Cheerio.